Why do we love to eat? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. Why do we love to eat? Well, you say everyone doesn't love to eat. Oh, yes, they do. Everyone loves to eat. And everyone loves to eat and eat and eat and eat. And everyone loves to eat. Now, why does everyone love to eat? I have a dog, and of course he loves to eat. And he would probably eat constantly if you gave it to him. And then again, maybe he would taper off and take only that which he needs, you know. And not just eat because he eats. Like when you're in the desert, you drink water when you can get it, you know. And when you don't have water, then you sort of try not to evaporate it, leave your body, because you want to keep it. Now, why is it that when we have lots of water, we don't drink lots of water, we drink normal? Why don't we drink lots? I mean, the same attitude exists in us, but it's not necessarily the same attitude in us that is in us when we're in the desert. When we're in the desert, then that attitude says, you're thirsty. And when you're on the seashore, you know, you can be thirsty too. But when you're around lots of water, you're not necessarily so thirsty. What is it that creates this attitude in us that says we're thirsty or that we're not thirsty? That says we're hungry or we're not hungry? What is that attitude? Now, isn't it interesting how we can be so naive, so tremendously naive? And we are fed a succulent dinner by a gourmet host who loves to cook. And the host will say, this is something just special for you. Oh, it is so delicious. It tastes like, you know, tastes like chicken. You know, that always is acceptable. And so you eat it, and you say, my goodness, that sure is delicious. Can I have some more? And you don't really need any more. You just think it's so good, you may never have its like again. And so you ask for more, but you don't really need it, but you get it. And so you eat some more. And you say, well, will you give me the recipe? That seems like a very good dish. Well, everyone cannot make it. And you say, well, why is that? Well, you have to have the right ingredients. And what are the right ingredients? Well, some dead rabbits and some dead this and some dead that and some dead the other thing. You see, just by saying dead, right away it makes you think terrible, you know. Now, you wouldn't think that you, all right, I'm going to offer you some live food. Now here is a live rabbit, now eat it. Now here is a live fish, now eat it. Here is a live carrot, now eat it, you know. It's still growing in the ground, you know. Well, a carrot isn't too bad, you can handle that. But a live rabbit and a live fish, that just seems a little bit difficult to consider. But the names that we give to things make them what it's difficult to be. Now, you eat this particular dish, and you've never seen it before, and you say, how did you create that? It looks just like the eye of a goat. Well, it is the eye of a goat. But it tastes so good. Yuck, you know? It tastes so good. Yucky, yucky, yucky. And this looks just like brain. Well, it is brain, you know? It is the brain of an animal, you know? Well, I've not eaten brain. Yes, you have. You've eaten brain a lot of times. You've eaten the eye of animals lots of times. You've eaten many, many things lots of times. But they were mixed up with other things and you didn't really know what you were eating. You really had no idea. But yet, you eat that all the time. Now, why do we have such an aversion to certain things that we have aversion to? We wouldn't think of eating a gonad, you know, mountain oysters are gonads, testicles, you know, and you wouldn't think of eating them. You think, my goodness, that's terrible. And you wouldn't think of eating brain, or you wouldn't think of eating eyes or tongue. And yet tongue is not a delicacy, but it's a common dish because it doesn't sell fast. And it's still a big chunk of meat, you know, very chewy. But the thing is, when it's well cooked, it is a very savory dish. And the same goes for all of these things. Now, we have attitudes, and these attitudes keep us from benefiting from our living experience, from our eating experience, and from our sharing experience. And we go to a tribe of people in a different country, and they invite us for a meal, and we are told beforehand by other guests, if you don't eat everything that you served you, they will think that you are a bad guest, and they might cut off your head. And so you sort of steel yourself for the experience of eating what served you, or get out of there, you know. Mm-hmm. But you steel yourself. So how do you steel yourself? Well, the best way to do it is to get so interested in what's going on at the table, you don't notice what you're eating. You're just talking and eating and talking and eating and not looking at your plate at all. Just talking and eating and talking and eating and mixing this stuff up so you don't even know what it was or is or anything else like that. And you just eat it. And after the meal is done, you think, that wasn't so bad, you know. But the thing is, if you had stopped to think of what you were eating, then you would have been very, very unhappy. And you would say, I can't eat that. I can't. And you'd cough, and you'd throw up, and you'd do everything to, you know, to avoid eating it. But these are all mental things, and of course, mental is what they are. And because they're mental things, what do we do about them? Because they're mental things, we treat them like a physical thing. We treat them like physical things. I was reading about a doctor this morning, and he was saying that we have all been taught that certain foods are bad for our system, and that certain foods are bad. And he said he's done a great deal of research, and his research has taken him from what the scientists have found out to be the most important chemicals in the body to how the chemicals are prepared as aspirins and vitamins and minerals to be put into the body. And that chemically these things are prepared, but when they're prepared there are certain things that are left out, they just aren't there, and the body could use them too. But the system doesn't make it. Now, then he went on to show how the organs of an animal, how bacon and bacon gravy, bacon fat, are tremendously vital to the successful operation of the body, to the longevity of the body, and how bacon fat causes the cholesterol to be balanced in the body, not to be high or low, but to be balanced, and how these various other things cause, and then he said, now, the reason that these things are poo-pooed by science, by the pharmaceutical houses, is that they can't make any money off of that. Because you can't make any money off of selling bacon grease, you know. People would not take too favorably to bacon grease, and besides which, it doesn't look all that good when it's cold, you know. So, but his article, I read it quickly, and a little speed reading through it, and I thought, oh, this is interesting. So I went back and slow read a couple of parts of it, and it was really quite amazing. Quite amazing. Although I read other things he's written before, and they were substantial too. Now, what he was saying is that if we were left to our normal desserts, so to speak, if we were left to our normal choices, we would eat things that are beneficial for our body. And he says, we drink so much water, our 8 glasses of water a day, that we're washing away all of the minerals and vitamins out of our body. They don't have a chance to stay in our body and benefit us. They just get flushed right through. So you have to eat a great deal more vitamins and minerals to take the place of that. And then he went on to point out all these other things, and he was saying how salt is so important for the body. The body's primary constituent is salt. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have a maintained balance of salt in the body will not operate correctly. And he went on to a whole bunch of things, which if you were tuned in, you could really pick up some interesting stuff, covering every one of the negative experiences that mankind is heir to right at the moment. And he taught how to maintain the immune system and how to work with many different things, and how he has worked with different patients over the years to accomplish certain goals. But he has a name that is a very unkind name, and he's called the Maverick. Because what everybody else doesn't believe, he believes. What everybody else says you shouldn't do, he says you should do. And he said, this is the reason that you should do it. And his reason is sound. And his reason has been proven out by many scientists. But it all goes back to one little thing, money. It all goes back to, if you can't make money on it, they're not going to promote it and sell it. Which is natural, you know. If you can't make money on it, who's going to promote it and sell it? Now, what about you? What about you? What are you going to do with your life, with your attitude, with your body, with your experiences? Are you going to eat those things that appeal to you? Are you going to eat those things that make you feel healthy and happy and really good and under all circumstances? Are you going to do that? Or are you going to continue to eat things that have nothing in it, that have been bleached out of everything that they have in it, that have been washed out of everything that they have in it, that none of the natural stuff remains, none of the nutritive stuff remains? Now, I'm not suggesting we change our diet. I'm not knowledgeable in that field, and that's not an area that I would make any recommendations. But I would recommend that all these things, and it's unfortunate too, all these things that the old wives used to know has been discarded. All these things that the old wife, they used to use urine as a healing agent. In fact, Hippocrates used urine as a healing agent. And he taught people that if they could drink a little bit of their urine every single day, they would be revitalizing their body with a very powerful amount of essence of the immune system that the body has within it. Instead, we just sort of pass it off. But the thing is, if it could recycle it, because you're getting a concentrated amount, you're not getting a bad substance, you're not getting a bad amount, but you're getting a concentrated amount. And these books point these things out. And they're not the mainstream books. The mainstream books, science finds mainstream to be very difficult to that is, science finds the avant-garde to be very difficult, because it is not the mainstream. The mainstream doesn't use words like shit and hell and damn and piss and stuff like that. The mainstream doesn't do that. That's not nice. But those are the very things that make up the essence of life. If a doctor were to examine the defecation of a human being, he would find more solutions to the human being's problems than any other, because the human being is defecating those things out of his body that are good, bad, and indifferent. And the doctor would be able to analyze it. What do they do with a dog? With a dog, they want one of his droppings, you know. They want some of his defecation. They want to take some, they want to take the urine, you know, because they want to figure out what's going on. What's missing in the body? What's missing and what's not being? The food that we eat is a fascinating experience. And we are so taught to be abhorrent to things that are the most natural in the world. The most natural in the world. And if we could be more understanding of, can you see a mother being abhorrent, not wanting to touch her baby's messy bottom? Mm-mm. If a mother ever did that, she would be a very poor mother. Now, when the mother sees the stools are firm, that's nice. When the mother sees the stools are loose, that means the baby has a little bit of diarrhea and needs to be tight. Or that the baby's just drinking milk, just starting out. So, of course, it's going to be wettish. But no, the mother learns by what she sees. Now, she may not know that she's learning, and she may let somebody else change the diapers. She may let somebody else do this. But if she does that, somebody else is going to have to make the observation as to whether that child is beneficial or not in what they're getting. We have our diet as a very wonderful and positive tool. And we have our defecations, the urinations, and we have all of these other things as a very definite tool. Now, whenever you have an illness, it's because your body is missing something. Not because your body has too much of something, it could be that, but usually it's because they're missing something. So then, you would think that we would have a diagnosis of missing things, missing persons, you know. And so you'd know what vitamins and minerals are missing. And so you'd give them a mega dose of that and bring them back. Or have them eat foods that bring that into their system. And then their health would return to normal just like that, because they're just missing that. And they say that melanoma, that's cancer from the sun, is terrible, and you should avoid it, avoid it, avoid it. And yet they have done research with the Australian lifeguards, who are sitting out in the sun naked all day long, and they have virtually no melanoma whatsoever. None. It's a rare thing to find it among them, and it's usually a newcomer. But the thing is, people who get out in the sun, who get out in... Now, among the Africans, how many of them experience melanoma? And they're living naked out in the sun. And the Indians, who wear very little, if anything, they're living naked out in the sun. You don't find that. You find that among people who are couch potatoes, and then they go out and sit in the sun, and they haven't taken it in gradations. They haven't mellowed themselves into a gentle tan and then a good tan. Now, living in our bodies is a very special experience. And if you want to live in your body and get the most from it, then enjoy your body. Feed your body what your body delights in. If it wants ice cream, feed it ice cream. If it wants eggs, this doctor said that eggs are the most maligned food we have. He said we should eat at least 2 or 3 dozen eggs a day, mm-hmm. including the yolk, and especially the yolk. Because in the yolk are all of mm-hmm. those special vitamins, minerals. Now, you're not going to eat 2 or 3 dozen. You know. You're going to eat whatever pleases you. But, as he said in writing about a friend of his who was captured by people in South America who were running drugs, and this guy was put in a cave, just a dirty old cave, and all he was fed were eggs. Mm-hmm. For 4 months he was in that cave until he got out. 4 months eating just eggs. When he went in, he was a normal chubby guy. When he came out, he was slim and trim and healthy, dynamic, just fantastic. All he had had was eggs. And it's kind of interesting that we don't realize eggs are a most natural food. They are the essence food that a newly born has as bringing it into the world. And that same beneficialness could be useful to us and everyone else. But science is boo-cooing it, and of course they will stop. Yesterday they said not so much salt. Today they say more salt. Tomorrow they'll say less salt again. They can't make up their minds because some new research will show some new things. But for you now, follow your heart. If you feel like eating something, enjoy it. If you feel like, it's like a child, and you've all heard the story. The child is chewing on his crib. Why?
Because he needs something.
He's missing something mm-hmm. from his diet. He's missing something from his diet. And why do children love to eat dirt? Yuck, you know. They're missing something from their diet. Now, with no other, my child is missing from, I give him everything that I'm told to give him. Yeah, but he's missing some of those things there that are in that soil. He's missing some of the things that are here or there, you know. So, think about it. When you let your heart, when you let your mind, when you let your spirit, when you let your body guide you. Oh, and another thing he said. He says, get rid of all the water and drink beer. And he says, you'll find a lot healthier people. And, of course, that was an exaggeration. But it's an exaggeration not without point. Because it is certainly something to consider. Something to consider. So, with that said, we will let you go about your wonderful morning and have a wonderful day and know that I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.
I love you.